Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We're going to begin this evening with chapter 16. And in this chapter, we're going to find that Israel complained once again, and God supernaturally provided food for them. In verse 1, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt." Sinai, sorry.
Now, think about this. They're being led by the cloud, right? Now, already, this is, what, a month? Okay. Already they've had to move from different places, right? So they didn't last long at the oasis, did they? And so they come to the wilderness of Sin, and I don't know why the name. I've referenced, and I can't find anything that gives me any hint as to what that means. But just suffice it to say that it's a geographical location, the wilderness of Sin, okay? And it's between Elim and Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month. They left the land of Egypt on the 14th day of that night of the first month. And with these dates, we can conclude that the Israelites had been on this journey for approximately 1 month. Now think about this. Complaining at the Red Sea, complaining at Marah, and you're going to find out to start complaining again. Remember what I said, how quick we forget the miraculous things that God does, the deliverance at the Red Sea, the manifestation of the power of God just to part the sea, and then to get them over and destroy an entire army, and then they're complaining about the contaminated water. And here again, we see they're complaining again. Food. Everything has to do with the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? This is a problem people have today. Instead of being led by the cloud, led by the Spirit, realizing that the Spirit of God is leading you where you want to be, the flesh screams, "I don't like it." And that's where people are today. They do not like where God leads them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the bed of roses. It's not always the pleasant place. But it'll always be the necessary place. Okay?
And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger."
Now listen to what the flesh is saying. We have been better off to have died in the land of Egypt by the hand of the Lord. We sat down by the flesh pots. We ate all the bread we wanted. We had it made. Well, why were they crying out to the Lord if everything was so good? And they accused Moses and Aaron of leading them into the wilderness to starve them to death. You understand, they couldn't see God, so what do? You can't see God, so you lash out at God's leadership. But when you lash out at the leadership of God, it's not people that you're complaining and murmuring against. It's God you're murmuring against. When the leadership is doing what God said and you complain against it, your complaint is against God. You can project it to some individual, but the individual is not your problem.
"Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.
Now here's another phenomenal thing. The Lord says, all right, you tell them that I'm going to rain bread down from heaven. And the people are to go out and gather a certain amount daily. Now here's what he's doing. He says, I want them to daily rely on me for their food, for their bread. And the Lord tested the obedience of the descendants of Israel, okay? Now, think about what Jesus said when they said, teach us how to pray. He said like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or sacred is your name. Your kingdom come. In other words, you rule over us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, give me today my what? Daily bread. You know what that's saying? We're depending on Him daily. Not once in a while, but we depend upon Him daily. And this is what God was wanting the Israelites to do. You depend upon me daily. I'm going to rain bread from heaven. You want food? I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you bread on a daily basis. Pretty incredible, really, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.
So I'm going to give you bread 6 days a week, gather a certain amount 5 days, 6 days, guess what, gather twice that much, and the seventh day, rest. Now, you know what this is? This God is requiring the Israelites to operate by faith. You know how the just live?
By faith.
By faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God requires us to live by faith as well. But here we have the example. I'm telling you, if you study the nation of Israel and through their travels and all that, I mean, you can write a book about the principle God has for your life just from the examples that you see. You learn what not to do as well as what to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?
Okay. So, they complain, God's going to fix them up. I'm going to give you flesh in the evening, bread in the morning. Prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to eat until you're satisfied. And then he reiterated this fact that their complaint was not against Moses and Aaron. Their complaint was against God. They were just directing it toward Moses. When anyone complains against God, ordained leadership, and here again, those who are following the instructions of the Lord, they're complaining against the Lord himself. It's not a real good place to be when you start complaining against God, telling God you don't like his ways. And yet God tells us, my ways are not yours. Mine are higher than yours. My ways are superior to your ways. You just have to trust me. Okay?
So I'll pick up at verse 9. And Moses spoke unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings.
So Moses tells Aaron, all right, I want you to assemble all the people of Israel before the Lord, because he has heard their complaining.
And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud.
So while Aaron is speaking to these descendants of Israel, they look toward the wilderness, and they see the splendor of the Lord visible in the cloud. That didn't say they saw the face. They saw the splendor of the Lord, the brightness of the Lord. You follow me? Or the glory of the Lord, however you want to say it.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.
So the Lord speaks to Moses from the cloud. And he says, I've heard the complaints of these descendants of Israel. You tell them that at twilight or in the evening, they'll eat meat. And in the morning, they'll be satisfied with bread. And through these phenomenons, they'll know that I'm the Lord your God. Let me have you know you can get used to miracles. You can actually get anesthetized to it. To where you just, big deal.
And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground.
So that evening the quails came. See, this prophetic word is coming to pass. And covers the camp of the Israelites. The next morning, the dew was laying around the encampment of the Israelites. And when the dew evaporated, it says there was a small round thing laying on the ground. And it was small as like frozen dew. That's what hoarfrost is. It's crystal-like ice. And laying on the ground. Rained down from heaven, not coming up out of the ground. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says that, referring to the Israelites, they ate angel food. Amazing, isn't it?
And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it was manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.
So when they see this round thing, small round thing on the ground, they say, what is it?
Yeah.
They did not know what it was because they'd never seen it before. Manna actually comes from the Hebrew words mon and hu. Mon means a witness, and the hu means it. What it? What is it? Okay. And so Moses told them that it was bread that the Lord had given them to eat. Now, you remember in the sixth chapter of John, you know, people, Jesus being confronted by the religious people, you know, you give us a sign. Moses gave us bread. Well, Moses didn't give them bread. Moses prophesied about the bread God was going to give them in the wilderness. So that's referring to manna. You understand? And what does Jesus say? I'm the true bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but what does he live by? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yeah, we're going to want you to remember that. That's actually a test question. The manna eaten by the Israelites in the wilderness is a type and shadow of Jesus. The true bread, which is your answer, true bread, that came down from God out of heaven.
Remember, you partook of that Tuesday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And symbolism, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less.
So the Lord had commanded them to pick up or gather a certain amount. Now he tells you what that certain amount is. An omer. So everybody knows what an omer is, right?
Mm.
Yeah. And so he says, I want you to gather an omer for each person in your family. And so the children of Israel did as Moses commanded. However, some gathered more than an omer, and others gathered less. An omer is an ancient Greek unit of dry measure, or Hebrew, an ancient Hebrew unit of dry measure. It's one-tenth of an ephod. Did that clarify? Okay. Which is about 7.5 pints, or 120 ounces, or 0.94 gallon. Almost a gallon. Okay, that's what they were to gather for each person on a daily basis, okay?
And when they did measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating.
So probably because of their appetite, some gathered more than others. Those who gathered more did not have any left over. Those who gathered little had enough. You understand?
Yeah. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them.
God's testing them. Believe in me. Trust me. I'm going to give you your bread day by day. So don't leave any that I give you today overnight. But what happens? They don't listen to God. Now, you know, we can point a finger at the Israelites, but the bottom line is people do the same thing today. They don't listen to God. God gives instruction. People don't listen to the instruction. They have a better idea. But here's the thing about it. When God says don't do it, then there's a consequence if you do it, and the next morning they find out that this manna has maggots in it, and it's giving a profuse odor. Yeah, you want that in your house? Do it God's way.
I think about the parallel here of the importance of fresh bread, that we shouldn't be serving stale bread or old bread. We have to constantly keep ourselves in a position of receiving from the Lord so that we're having our fresh bread experiences. We can't give somebody what we don't have or what we haven't experienced ourselves with the Lord, right? And so we have to stay constantly submitted to Him and His Word to have that fresh bread to be able to help others.
Bottom line is you have to hear from the Lord daily.
Mm-hmm.
Just like others said, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't hear from the Lord, how are you going to give someone else? God is not wanting us to be talking about the good old days. God has a fresh word. God wants to feed us on a daily basis. So the fresh bread that's given daily is what God is putting in our hearts on a daily basis. But in order to get that, you need to go to the table. That's the Word. You go to the Word of God. You get in the presence of God. And you let God put His Word in you. And when God puts His Word in you, then His Word will come out of you. And it won't be the same old. It'll be fresh bread. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And preachers really have to watch this. I had a preacher to tell me back many years ago. He said, I only have 5 sermons that I preach. He was an itinerant preacher. He didn't, wasn't a pastor. And he says, so, you know, if I leave this town, I go to this town, I ain't preached the same message. What do they need to hear? I've never forgotten that. And my fault is we stunt our growth. When you're only just looking at this little small segment, this is a big word of God. And there's a lot in it. And God wants us to eat all of it, not favorite parts. Not parts that we learn and come accustomed to, just quoting our favorite verse. But to know this word, and you'll never exhaust all the information in it. So we're to be eating it every day of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh bread. Yeah.
Old bread is not appetizing, is it? All right.
I like to be able to squeeze it.
Yeah. Verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man, according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted.
And so they were to go out in the morning and get the bread. Don't sleep all morning and think it's going to be there in the afternoon. Because when the sun came up, it melted it. And so now you're not going to gather any. Right? You be ready to get what God has when God says so. If God says in the morning, he means in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think they just get it on their time. No, we do things in God's time. You want the revelation, then do it in God's time.
Amen.
Now, he's not saying, I want you to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and spend... I'm not saying that. I'm saying be sensitive to the Spirit. And when God's dealing with your heart, then you be led by the Spirit of God. If I don't care what time it is, if you feel a sense of urgency in you to get along with God, get along with God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I'd be sitting there at the desk and working and doing something, and all of a sudden, I get this sense of urgency that I need to be praying for somebody. Well, that's not just a fleeting thought. Stop what you're doing and pray. That's the timing of God. When he puts it on your heart, that's the timing, and he's going to give you what to say. It may be in another language, but he'll give you what to say, okay? Some of you get that.
And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you will see their boil. And that which remains overlay up for you to be kept until morning. And they laid up till the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither were there any worms therein?
Here again, they're being tested. And so, all right, 6 days coming up, gather twice as much. Well, if I do that, you know, I've done that before and it bred worms. God says, trust me. On the sixth day, you gather twice as much. And go ahead and prepare it on the sixth day. You ready for this? I don't want you cooking on the seventh day.
Mm.
Now, don't make a doctrine out of that. I'm just telling you this is what God, the instruction that God was given to the Israelites Because what's he doing? He's testing them to see if they will obey him. Right? So on the sixth day, you gather twice as much, and you trust me that I'll protect that, and it'll be good, fresh bread on the seventh day.
And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall gather, 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none."
So here he's just reiterating what's already been said. And he's reminding them, seventh day, rest. Now, I want you to think about this. We call it Sabbath. Sabbath is rest. This is type pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the Christian's Sabbath. And people are splitting hairs over which day to celebrate. We're not talking about a day. Paul writes, I believe it's to the Colossians, I'm concerned about you. You guys are all hung up on this days and seasons and new moon and Sabbaths. They were a type. The real is here. The real is Jesus. So our rest is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are in Him and trusting in Him are not trying to work to get stuff. Don't go out there thinking you're going to work and get that food. You rest in Jesus.
And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.
Now, you think about this. Here they have their instruction. But what do? They don't follow the instruction. So some of them go out on the Sabbath and they don't find anything. God says, how long? When are these people going to start listening to me? He said that seventh day is, I've designed that day to be a day of rest. Now I want you to think about this. They're traveling a lot. They're walking a lot. They need the rest, and God is making provision. You understand? So, plus, we know the Sabbath's pointing to Jesus, okay? But he says, don't even leave your campsite on the day of rest. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. Trust me. Quit trying to reason things out. You're not that smart. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. If you obey, you don't have to be that smart. Just obey and you'll look smart.
That's good. So the people rested on the seventh day.
They rested.
They
did what the Lord commanded them to do. Some of them slow learners, but they caught on. We better do it God's way or we're going to be starving on Sunday. Or Sabbath, not, don't make Sunday the Sabbath or Sabbath the Sunday. I don't know what day it was, and I'm not going to split hairs over. The calendar's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just know Jesus is my Sabbath.
That's right. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey.
Now, we've done some research on that, and Heather's looking at some things today and trying to figure out what coriander seed was, but she knows more about it than I do, I think. But from what I can gather, It's a white seed, tasted like wafers and honey. In other words, it was flat, thin honey cakes, in a sense. It wasn't a bad thing. It had the taste of coriander. And coriander is a soft, hairless plant that can grow up to be 3 feet tall. And the leaves are variable in shape with broad lobes at the base of the plant that become slender, resemble feathers higher on the flowering stem. And the seed-like fruit of this plant could be used as a whole or ground as flavoring for food or as a seasoning. And so when you say coriander seed, it has that flavor, is what he's saying. That the manna had the flavor of coriander seed. He didn't say it was coriander seed, okay?
You want to add to that? Just something interesting. I didn't know this, so y'all look behind me and see if you find this too. When I looked up coriander, it's also known as cilantro. I did not know that until today.
She was telling me that. She said that. I said, I don't know what that is.
Anyway,
I didn't know it. The plants and stuff.
So. I found it interesting. Verse 32. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt."
Now, I want you to think about this. Now God tells Moses, gather an omer of this manna, put it in a bowl, golden container, and keep it up for generations. If God says do it, it's not going to breed worms.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is to be a reminder for future generations that God supernaturally provided for the Israelites all the time they were making their journey.
Something. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept."
So God didn't tell Aaron, he told Moses. And so Moses tells Aaron what God said. So he said, you take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord. And it's to be kept for generations. There it did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the omer of manna serves as a witness of what the Lord did for the descendants of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. That's amazing. Lay it up before the Lord. You put it in the presence of the Lord. Ain't no worm going to live there. That might be a principle for us. Get in the presence of the Lord and get rid of some worms, right?
And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land uninhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan.
So they ate manna for 40 years. God reigns this for 40 years until they came to the land that God had promised them. When they went into the promised land and got into the place that God told them where Joshua led them, then the bread stopped, the manna stopped. But here again, for 40 years after they had left Egypt and all, and God is supernaturally feeding them until they get to the place to where the enemy's feeding them. They're eating crops they didn't plant, living in houses they didn't build. God's fulfilled his word to them, so now they don't need that. And so they celebrated the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. And the day after that, That would be the 15th, right? And that's the day after the 14th. Okay. And so the day after that, they made unleavened cakes from the grain that was in the land. And the day after they ate the grain of the lamb, the manna stopped appearing on the ground. And the Israelites ate the fruit of the ground. And many of you think that there were some that went out looking for a manna.
Mm.
Have to learn to trust the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But God was faithful to His word.
Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah.
Here again, yeah. It just reiterates what an omer is as far as measurement. Tenth of an ephah, 7.5 pints, 120 ounces, 0.94 gallons. Now I'm going to tell you something interesting in this. I looked at several Bible dictionaries and they don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
This one says it's this amount. This one says it's this amount. That one says it's that amount. This is the best I can tell, and I'm not setting it in concrete. You understand? The bottom line is nobody knows. I've already found that one out. Okay? And so I'm not going to tell you I do. The manna given by God to sustain the physical lives of the Israelites can be compared to Jesus, who sustains our life. Both the manna and Jesus come down out of heaven from God. Now, just as the manna was Israel's daily provision, Jesus is the daily provision for the believer. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word. He is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Time's up, so we'll stop there. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory and Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You be before You. Amen?
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. I'm trusting you stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. Yeah.